now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to your weekly show that is Shout Out.
I am TBA, aka Ezra Peregrine, and he is potentially Andy Shilton. And today on the show, health.
Steph talks to Susie Green about this new trans youth health service.
What do you make of the right wing's recent push and more so the response from the communities? We'll be discussing this in detail.
All that and a lot more today right here on Shout Out.
That was a better harmony than last week.
That was actually,
yeah. Been last practicing. Year I went too low. The week before I went too high.
Well, we learned right back in the very early days that if the station computer goes down, Terry can sing the jingle for us.
Well, yeah. To be fair.
Mercifully, that hasn't happened very often.
No. How are you all?
I'm tired, I think. I don't know if it's weather and just lots of work. Everyone seems a bit chilled today.
Chilled,
correct me if I'm
wrong. It's a good word.
It is a good word.
You and me
good.
Had a yawn off earlier.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be plenty of listeners that do the same thing. When someone yawns.
This is going to be a stimulating show then.
Well, you know, I'm always ready and prepared.
I'd heard that.
We are the oral equivalent of a good bottle of poppers.
Wow. Okay.
We will get your heart rate going. Your blood vessels dilating.
Cheaper than Red Bull, better for you. You know, quicker out of your
I'm not
system.
Sure it's better for you than Red Bull.
Well,
better,
I don't know.
We're better for you than poppers, that's for sure.
Yeah, there is that.
You don't
there
want is... that. No.
No.
Oh gosh, poppers.
Well,
back
you
in the day.
Nostalgia.
A long time ago.
You can still buy them. They're perfectly legal.
They are. Yeah.
They are, but I wouldn't want to buy them. Not now, not at my age.
Well, your ripe old age of, what are you, 70?
Million in games.
So now, if you would like something stimulating for the weekend, Hand in Hand Festival is on.
Yes,
remember,
it is.
Yes. Suzanne came in to talk to us about it. I bumped into her in a kind of... well, she was all over the place because, of course, it is this weekend and there's 1,600 odd of them coming to sing. So I caught up with her very quick. Have a listen to this and we'll talk about it afterwards.
Okay. So, Hand in Hand Festival.
Yes.
This weekend.
Yes.
2 years in the making, did you say?
Yeah, about that.
So nearly there. How many people?
Over 1,400 are coming from all around the UK and Ireland.
And they're all going to pack onto those stages?
Yeah, so every LGBTQ plus choir has to do a half-hour performance over the weekend at the Bristol Beacon. So we've taken over the whole of the Beacon, so we're using all of their rooms. And then on the Sunday, we're going to be singing around Bristol City. So if you are around in town on Sunday, have a look at the website Hand in Hand Festival, and it will tell you where all the choirs are singing, so you can come and hear them sing over the weekend.
All over the place?
All around Bristol. There's like seven different areas that the choirs are going to be singing at, so.
And what type of an event is it? Do we need to get tickets to come?
No, unfortunately it's all sold out, which is brilliant. So they're actually at the Beacon, we've sold out on everything.
But
you can still do the Sunday, which is obviously free to the general public, so hopefully we'll get lots of, as long as it's not raining, we'll get lots of people coming to see us sing.
Yeah, cool. And you're not just Hand in Hand though, are you? You're your own...
No, I am my own. I sing in a choir called Bristol and Harmonic, which we launched in January. So this is our first public...
Had you on the show, remember?
Yeah, this is our first public performance, which is scary and exciting to be singing on the Bristol Beacon stage, a very iconic venue. So we're singing there Friday night and Saturday night, and then on Sunday we're singing at Lloyd's Amphitheatre. So, yes.
Is the next concert planned? Does that start after this one?
I think I'm allowed to say December, we're singing with the Bristol Gay Men's Chorus.
Oh, amazing.
So, yeah, I think it's the 9th of December or 7th of December. I can't remember. But, I think it's the 9th, actually. We are singing with them, so it's going to be quite exciting.
Well, you have to keep us in the loop so
yes.
we can let people know.
Definitely will do.
But thanks for catching up with me very quickly.
Pleasure.
And have a fantastic weekend, and hopefully some of our listeners to see you around on Sunday.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
There you go. So, it all sold out, but if you want to hear it on the Sunday, they're out and about in town.
Yes, which I didn't know. So we're talking about it off air. So sounds incredible. LGBT choirs getting together, singing. What more can you want for a weekend?
Good for you singing, yeah.
Good for you singing?
Yeah. It's good.
Good for you singing.
It's good to sing.
It
people
is.
Sing.
And you do it in the shower.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, however you sing, it makes you feel good.
Lovely, lovely echoey acoustics.
If you could choose one song to sing in the shower, what would you choose?
The shower. What song would I sing? I don't know.
I would choose Bye 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 by NSYNC.
Why?
I just love it. Stephanie Barney, Radio DJ, what would you choose?
What, to sing in the bath?
In the bath? When have you... Anyway, in the shower. We live in Bath, but you do not bath.
I don't. No. I can't remember last time I had a bath.
No. So what would you sing in the shower by choice?
Singing in the Rain.
No, probably.
That's a good choice.
Maybe Elvis Presley's "Suspicious Minds" or "Lay Lady Lay" by Bob
Very
Dylan.
Very different to me, but okay, okay.
Aquarius, "Let the Sun Shine
That's
In"
a
by
good
Fifth
one.
Dimension.
Oh, that yes. is nice. Yeah.
And Andy.
It's funny. Our bathrooms, our bathroom's got one of those. What do you call them? The windows in the ceiling that open
skylight.
Up.
Skylight.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But yeah. you can open it. But it's a plate of glass, and then it kind of like. Aims anything you're singing out into the garden. and Carl, my other half, quite often take one of those like Bluetooth speakers in when he's having
Brilliant.
A shower, and you're out there like in the lawn, and you're going, shower.
Is that how you really sing?
Loving your work, Carl. Loving your work.
So. Anyway, moving quickly on, because there's a lot in this show.
There is.
A bit of good news, isn't it, Steph?
There is. All will be revealed with my chat with Susie Green.
Looking forward to this. Yes. This is going to be good.
About Anne Health, isn't it?
Yeah.
Comes as no surprise to people that the change of government, I think we were all apprehensive, especially if you're a trans woman, about the change, because there didn't seem to be much confidence and pushback to what the Tories were thinking about trans women. And it's very upsetting to the trans world that they weren't going to get the help that they thought. There is news of another 6 clinics starting. We don't know the details of that yet. I'm joined by Susie Green, who's starting to push back and put something out there that will help the trans community. Susie Green, welcome to Showtime.
Oh, thank you for having me. Pleasure.
Now, before we get on to your new organisation called Anne, what's your take on Wes Streeting and his thoughts and the meetings that he's had with certain groups?
It's really disappointing. Obviously, our hope was that when Labour got in, that there would be more understanding of what the trans community is facing and potentially more understanding of what the Tory agenda clearly was in terms of marginalising the community even further and promoting hate and trying to roll back rights. But unfortunately, Wes Streeting seems to have been captured by the same organisations that were captured by the Tory government, and we are facing a continuation of the puberty blocker ban, criminalisation of parents who are trying to support their children. We are looking at, you know, the wording around Wes Streeting's outgoing proposals are completely paternalistic and removing any kind of self-promotion, not self-promotion, that's the wrong word. I think Wes Streeting has basically infantilised trans people and is using a paternalistic tone in terms of this is what trans people should do, and talking about trans youth and their parents as if cis people know better, which is a really common framework, but I hoped Labour would do better than that. It's incredibly worrying that the CAST review is being lauded as this piece of, you know, great research that should be relied upon, when it's clearly a political document that was created with a huge agenda by the previous Tory government and has been refuted so thoroughly, not only by the trans community, but also so widely by academics, researchers, and obviously now the BMA are looking into it as well. It's incredibly disappointing that Wes Streeting doesn't seem to be listening to any of that. And it's creating panic and distress. And we're seeing that firsthand. And it is, you know, it's so disappointing. it's so disappointing, Steph. I mean, what?
I know.
What are they thinking?
Does it give you any sort of sign of hope that the BMA report, and they're actually going to go on and do a more thorough report, but also Yale University also put out a report dissing the CAS report. Does that give you a little bit of hope?
A little, but I also think that there is a tendency when people get entrenched in a position that even when you do push back against it, that that doesn't make ground. I think Wes Streeting is being captured. He really doesn't understand the trans community's objections to both the CAS review and what's going on for young people. He doesn't seem to have any understanding of the distress and the pain that he's causing with his, you know, commitment to continuing the ban and continuing to criminalise parents and continuing to remove access to care for young people. And I think there needs to be a sea change. Something needs to change for Wes Streeting to be able to understand how this feels actually on the ground. And some of that needs to be that he stops to think about what's actually being said and looks at the evidence that's stacking up against the CAS review, including, as you say, the Yale report and the BMA now turning around and saying, actually, this is not, you know, that they're going to do a review because they don't believe it's in the best interest of young people. And we're now seeing as well evidence that 4 years ago, before Hilary CAS even got involved, that she was, in the terminology that was used, horrified by the medicalization of trans youth. So she had no previous knowledge or had ever worked with trans youth or young people, no knowledge of gender services, and still she was given that job, but she also had a very clear viewpoint that medicalization was not, was not a route that she would ever sort of promote or agree with. And they made her the head of a review of children's services for trans youth. It's so clear how this was motivated and what's gone on. In terms of bias, this is horrific. And I'm not surprised that the trans community is up in arms. I am so angry that this woman was given this power and this is now being used. But this is not just being used in our country. This is now being used internationally to roll back trans rights and roll back access to treatment for people. And I think it's disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. Now, there's a new organisation out there that you're supporting and behind called Anne. Can you tell me where that fits in with the Future Help for trans people?
Well, Anne has been in the works for probably about 18 months, 2 years. So my co-director, Lizzie Jordan, and I, we met when I came out of Mermaids back in November 2022. I was already really worried about what was happening with regards access to healthcare for trans youth and the way that things were going, obviously, after the Bell versus Tavistock case, the shutdown of all access that NHS England did within hours of that judgment being handed down, and the fact that even after that was reversed at appeal, they still continued by restricting access, and then obviously the CAS review. So I was already really concerned about what was going on. And Lizzie and I had spoken about this. We've both got long-standing history of supporting trans young people, LGBTQ young people, and activism work. Lizzie more in the HIV field, and obviously me with my years at Mermaids. I then went to work with Gender GP, saw what was happening inside of Gender GP, and decided that I couldn't stay there morally and ethically because I didn't agree with what was being done. And we then came out, and then we then started really talking about, okay, so what can we do? Because, and this was before the ban as well, what can we do? Because people are being failed, and the only alternative to an NHS that is failing trans youth so horrifically is Gender GP, and we didn't believe that that was an ethical or safe service. So we tried for ages to try and work out how we would deliver a service that was not only personal, but also as safe as we could make it. And we were stuck for some time. And then earlier on this year, we got a backer who said that they would put some money in to help us get started. So Anne was created. and it's a healthcare service. We are running as a nonprofit. So when we do get to a position, which we're not at the moment, and it's probably going to be another 6 months at least, when we have got money left over after our operational costs, such as salaries and business costs, have been paid, that money will go into a fund that will then subsidize people's care who literally have no option and cannot afford it at all. And we're delivering helpline and web chat service. And we guarantee that if you need to speak to somebody, you can speak to somebody, a live, real person, whenever you need to, and that we'll always be here for you. And that's what we said we would deliver, and that's what we've managed to set up. And we've now been going for a few months. So, yeah, really good.
Yeah. Where does the name Anne come from?
It's actually an aunt of Lizzie's, who was quite elderly and died a couple of years ago, but was one of those people in your life who really supported Lizzie, really was somebody that she could speak to whenever she needed to. And I think Lizzie wanted to sort of commemorate that support, that love, that unconditional, it's just care, isn't it? And so that's where Anne came from. And it's, we all want somebody like Anne in our lives, and we're aiming to be that for people if they need us.
Okay, so if you're trans and need to call Anne.
Yeah, so our website is anne.health, so it's really easy to find. Okay. And all the information about what we do. We're continuing to add things to it at the moment. But one of the things that we're also doing that I don't think anybody else is doing, because we're really concerned about harm reduction for trans people who've been left with no options. And one of those is a self-medication, harm reduction membership. So if people are self-medicating and they don't want to stop, but they would like their blood test checked and maybe, a conversation with a nurse who knows their stuff, we also do that as a membership option as well. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to cover all the bases, from young people who need a real range of support, including blood tests, people who are just starting out on their journeys, people who are transferring from other services because they've been with them for, 1 or 2 years already, so have existing treatment journeys that they've been on. We're trying to cover all the bases so that we can be here for as many people as need us.
How many staff have you actually got to do this then, Susie? It sounds like an awful lot of work. So it's like you are a 24/7 service.
It's we've got therapists who are contracts. We've got doctors who are contractors, and we've got staff members. So actual staff members, we have 8, but then we've got 5 therapists, 2 doctors, and 2 nurses. So yeah, quite a few. But yeah, Speaking to our patients, the people who are using our service, they really value that level of contact and ability to talk to a live person whenever they want to. So, and I know what it feels like to be the parent trying to find care for their kid. I know what it feels like to be someone who's walking into this and it's a minefield and not knowing what they should get, and actually just wanting to have a conversation with a qualified human being who can tell them.
Yeah, and I guess you're open to the whole family, not just the person involved.
Yeah, so we have a lot of conversations with parents of younger trans children, and we offer a pre-medical membership. So if somebody has a young person who they're not sure whether or not they're ready for puberty blockers, whether it's too early for puberty blockers and or obviously hormones, etc., that, they can still sign up, they can still be access the support, and be able to speak to team members when they want to, and then move on to a medical pathway when it's the right time for them. So we're trying to create something that is as comprehensive and compassionate as possible. And then obviously on the side of that, we're also delivering the helpline and web chat 4 to 8 every evening as well, on Monday to Friday.
Mm. Do you think because of the bans and that, people tend to go underground because they get so desperate and be buying puberty blockers off of the internet, which obviously might not be legit? What do you advise people to do in the current situation, Susie?
Well, We have determined a legal route to get puberty blockers for under 18s, and it's reliant upon a loophole that we got legal advice on. It was the lawyers from the Good Law Project, and we worked with them and said, is there any way that we can fulfill people's, you know, people's prescriptions legally without criminalizing parents? And so we spoke to the lawyers, and they've given us like a legal document, oversight document. And we have a network of parents in Northern Ireland who will agree to receive receipt of a young person's blocking medication prescription, the medication itself. And then as long as the family from the UK travel with that young person over to Northern Ireland to collect the medication and it comes back into the country on the young person, that exploits a legal loophole.
Okay.
And Northern Ireland have indicated that they are not going to ban puberty blockers, that they're not going to follow the UK's lead, which, you know, fingers crossed that that will continue. Who are going to Spain? I know people who are, you know, going and buying stuff over the counter. They're buying it off the internet. I mean, essentially, with this criminalising of parents, did they think that people would just stop their children's HRT and put them through that distress? Of course they're not going to. They're going to do everything that they can to support their children to be okay. And just stopping a course of medication that they may have been on for, you know, a year or 2 years or whatever, and say, well, actually, there's nothing we can do, and you're just going to have to go through the puberty that you know is going to be torture for you. Well, they're not going to do that.
Are you disappointed that Scotland and Wales didn't follow Northern Ireland's lead?
It's a shame. I don't know. I don't know what pressures were brought to bear. You know, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes here, and we don't know what is being said. I think the baseline of all of this is flawed, deeply flawed. You're looking at puberty blockers, and puberty blockers are being put through this ban, but they've been used routinely in terms of, you know, precocious puberty. They've been used routinely for fibroids and for endometriosis. They've been used routinely for people with cancer. They are not an unsafe medication at all. The only people that have been targeted with this ban are trans young people, and that's based on a CAS report, which is incredibly deeply flawed, contentious, a political document with so many inconsistencies with regards to how they apply science and research. The government are acting on it. It's unbelievable to me that we're in this position. I cannot believe that so many years ago I had to take my daughter to America because they wouldn't do blockers in this country before 16 then, and I thought that was bad. I thought that was bad, and now this is worse.
Yeah, we do seem to be going backwards, Susie. Have you got social media tags that people, so people can follow you?
Yeah, so we've got hashtag AskAm. But yeah, so we've got our, I think we're Ann Healthcare. And if you go onto our website, you'll be able to see our social media accounts on there as well. But yeah, if you want to speak to somebody, you know, we've got the clinic at ann.health email, or the hello at ann.health email, the helpline and web chat you can get to from our website, and that's available 4 to 6 every evening. Our patient admin, which is for clinical queries, is open all day, 9 till 5. And, you know, we're here to talk to you. If you want to talk to us, reach out. We're here. And especially in these really strange and worrying times, I think that I just wish we could have done it earlier. But I'm really, really glad that we're here now.
Yeah. Susie Green, thanks for joining us on Shout Out, and power to your elbow, Susie.
Been great to see you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That Teenage Dream, and that's by The Rescues.
Loved it.
Not originally, obviously. That's very, very nice acoustic-y kind of version of it.
Is
that a word, acoustic-y?
Yeah, it is now. Yeah. A little bit of acoustic-y music.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very relaxing as well. And actually, I think when people change stuff up like that, it makes you listen to the lyrics more.
Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're lovely lyrics. So.
Yeah, you seem to know them all.
I did,
actually.
Is
that a song you like?
You did the original?
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry.
Yeah, I was a big fan, yeah. To be fair. Like, I kissed a girl and I was like, I'm in. You represent me. I think she's lovely. So, yeah, big fan. Yeah.
Anyway, with that, should we get some news headlines?
Why not?
Go on.
This is Shoutout News. Welcome along.
Australian gay magazine DNA and the US-based newswire Queerty both report that Matthew Mitchum, the Australian diver who made history as the first out athlete to win Olympic gold in 2008, has had enough of transphobes using the Olympics as a platform. Martin Velez, writing at the DNA website, says the IOC issued a strong statement affirming Imane Khelif's right to compete as a woman, citing her previous competitions in the women's category, including the 2020 Games. We have seen reports that misleading information about two female athletes competing at the Olympics, the IOC said. Mitchum also responded to the hate mongers, saying, apparently we live in a world now where transphobic bullying has gotten so bad that it extends to women who are deemed too strong and muscly at the Olympics of all places. He added, like the Algerian boxer Imane Khelif has been bullied so mercilessly that it's forced her own father to publicly release her birth certificate to prove that she was assigned female at birth. That's shocking. You all need Jesus, honestly, he said. Khelif herself, who has been standing up to the bullies as well, addressed the harassment she received after clinching the Olympic medal. I send a message to all the people of the world who uphold the Olympic principles and charter to retain from bullying all athletes, refrain from bullying athletes, because this has effects, massive effects, she told SNTV. It can destroy people. It can kill people's thoughts, spirit and mind. It can divide people. And because of that, I ask them to refrain from bullying.
Meanwhile, there's an update from the Independent newspaper, which says that the attorney representing Algerian Olympic boxer Imane Khelif has said that J.K. Rowling and Elon Musk are among those listed in the sportsperson's legal complaint over the online harassment. Khelif won gold in the women's welterweight tournament in Paris on Friday, August the 9th, becoming Algeria's first woman to ever win a gold medal in boxing at the Games. Khelif's complaint was filed Friday with the special unit in the Paris prosecutor's office for combating online hate speech, alleging aggravated cyber harassment targeting Khelif. Lawyer Nabil Boudi said in a statement he described it as a misogynistic, racist and sexist campaign against the boxer. Motormouth Rowling, along with full-time right-wing agitators, mounted the transphobic campaign about Ms. Khelif. Just for the record, Khelif was assigned female at birth and all legal documentation affirms this.
Now, as Team GB returns home to the United Kingdom after the Paris Olympics, the Metro newspaper reports that diving legend, gay icon and pin-up Tom Daley has announced that he is retiring from the Olympic diving team. Mr. Daley has 5 medals, including a gold that he clinched at the Tokyo Olympics. Mr. Daley has become one of the most recognisable faces in sport and as such, he is a well-known gay man in the public eye, although he has on occasion also said that he prefers not to put too much of a label on his sexual orientation. Mr. Daley was a GB flag bearer at the Paris Olympics. The 30-year-old has grown up in the public eye since his popularity first peaked at the Beijing Olympics in 2008. He is married to screenwriter Dustin Lance Black and has 2 children.
US-based gay newspaper The Washington Blade says that shadowy proposals from the far right about what they want to see from future Republican administration in the country will put LGBTQIA+ freedoms at risk, as well as those of sex workers and people who work in the adult industry. By broadly defining information around all of these things as pornography and harmful to children, the authors of the fundamentalist-backed Project 2025 will imprison thousands of people for consenting acts and undermine equality in areas such as support and mental health service for the LGBTQIA young people. The Blade takes up the story, saying LGBTQ rights organisations, including the Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest LGBTQ rights group, and LGBTQ advocacy group, GLAAD, point out that the Project 2025 includes at least 32 specific provisions that call for rolling back LGBTQ rights, including marriage equality and LGBTQ non-discrimination protections in federal government agencies. The Free Speech Coalition and other groups and activists opposing a ban on pornography point out the text of the project's 2025 provision calling for a ban on porn seeks to create a link between what it calls harmful pornography and the transgender and LGBTQ communities. According to Free Speech Coalition, with new laws calling for the imprisonment of those who produce to distribute adult content, Project 2025 advocates for the arrest of millions of adult content creators, a war on porn that might mimic the war on drugs. The group adds in its statement, "The risk to anyone working in the sex industry is enormous, but given the project's twin concerns about LGBTQ plus content, would likely fall most heavily on the project's twin concerns about LGBTQ plus content, would likely fall most heavily on LGBTQ plus sex workers, pushing them further into the margins and increasing the risk of violence and exploitation." Among those who share that concern is Cindy Clay, Executive Director of DC-based sex worker advocacy group HIPS. "Calls to outlaw pornography are problematic enough, but they also take one more legal option for sex work away from people who do sex work." Clay told the Washington Blade, "What's more concerning in this push from the Project 2025 seems to be less about pornography itself and more about attacking trans rights and trans voices," Clay said.
Elizabeth Taylor, the Hollywood legend, is celebrated in a retro post from the magazine Into. The LGBTQIA plus online portal's Henry Giardia looks back at her time as one of the most high-profile activists for AIDS research and care when that syndrome was rocking the gay male community and others in the United States. Taylor, the subject of a new documentary on Max, co-founded the Foundation for AIDS Research in 1985. Before that, she hosted a dinner that raised $1.3 million for the AIDS Project of Los Angeles. She wouldn't stay silent about her friends who had already died, and she wouldn't let her living friends go on suffering in silence. "If it weren't for homosexuals, there would be no culture," Taylor once said. "The idea that God should choose his children to suffer, his geniuses to whom he had given the talent to make it a different, more beautiful place for us mere mortals, made me so angry." Rather than act the part of a remote, inaccessible grand dame of old Hollywood, she used her fame and privilege for good. She was hands-on at AMFAR, often butting heads with others at the organisation who wanted to prioritise funding cures over helping current AIDS patients with food and housing. She visited the Coming Home Hospice in the heart of San Francisco's Castro District and offered to help patients with whatever they needed, from letters written home to dog walks with their pets, to physical affection and laughter. She spent time on the grounds of these wards and encouraged doctors and nurses not to wear unnecessary layers of PPE or abstain from touching the patients who have been treated for so long like lepers. You can celebrate Elizabeth's humanity and compassion and check out the excellent essay by Henry at intomore.com.
And finally, LGBTQIA plus cultural magazine Queer Guru reports that we gays can be geeks too. Hence, we are making tracks later this month for the 10th annual FlameCon, the world's largest queer comic-con, this August the 17th and 18th at the Times Square Sheraton in New York City. It's a totally fab 2-day comics, arts and entertainment expo, showcasing creators and special guests from all corners of the LGBTQ fandom and almost 150 exhibitors. There will be cosplay, which we love, plus exclusive performances and screenings and so much more. You so don't have to be queer to attend, as geeks of all types have made very welcome, and to attend and celebrate the diversity and creativity of queer geekdom and LGBTQ contributions to pop culture. The official FlameCon after party, Fireball, will have all kinds of crazy, sexy and geeky fun in store for all your favourite queer friends at this event for the over 21s. It will be on Saturday, August 17th from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. at Industry, a gay bar located at 355 West 52nd Street between 8th and 9th Avenues. The night will feature geek-themed drag, burlesque, boylesque, dancing and more. Time to get the plane tickets, Terry.
Absolutely. Sign me up. Well, there's no letter. Who am I going to go as, by the way? The 15th Doctor. Well, there we are. Well, there's no let up. The news comes thick and fast. Why not check out our website for more? We're at shoutoutradio.lgbt. And be sure to keep in touch with your community media through the week for news and information relevant to you.
For Shoutout News, this has been Steffi Barnett
and Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
A bit of Marina and the Diamonds there with Champagne. It was lovely.
A nice song.
I do like a bit of Marina and the Diamonds.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a bit like 70s, 80s modern, isn't it? Like,
she's amazing. Yeah. Also, I named my manager after her on my phone. I named her Marina Paloma and the Diamonds. Yeah, she's incredible live as well.
And you said your brother's a big fan.
Yes.
Hello, Jacob.
Love you.
Is he tuned in?
Thank you for calling at the weekend. Well, if he's not, I'll send him the podcast link because, you know, we're on all podcasts, aren't we?
We are on many platforms of
many,
podcasts.
Many platforms.
As well as radio platforms as
well. Absolutely.
We like being on platforms.
I like the platform.
We should do a programme on train spotting. We haven't done that. Then we could be on platforms.
I was thinking of platform boots. You were thinking of train platforms.
Yeah, we could be doing glam rock on
train.
We're
so varied.
Oh, we do go off on tangents on this show,
especially when I'm co-hosting. Absolutely. But
Andy H is a bit of a train
enthusiast. He's a massive train enthusiast.
Yeah. It's a big scene.
It is.
It's a big scene.
Yeah.
And my brother worked many, this is a long time ago, and somebody said, oh, come round and see our train set. And my dad's got a train set. And he went round and he said, but my dad's going to be in his female persona this evening. So my brother said, oh, that's absolutely fine, you know. This, it doesn't worry me. And so they all stood there having a really great time playing with trains.
Wow.
On this train
set.
So cool. Which took up the whole attic.
Well, of course.
It's kind of like, oh, it's absolutely amazing.
If you're going to do it, big.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you think we should add train spotters to the LGBTQ community?
I think it would be nice to...
We could just change. We could have two T's. LGBTTT.
She means that. LGBTT.
Right, okay, yeah.
Maybe we should interview... train spotting.
Get in touch, especially if there's an LGBT plus train spotting group. That would be really cool.
So I know there's an LGBT skating group.
Yeah, I mean, there's. I mean, for most sports and things that people enjoy, there is often a strong queer community.
There is.
Yeah, reach out.
There is. Reach out to us. Now, it was a very dramatic couple of weeks here in the United Kingdom, and obviously most of our listeners around the world will be aware of the riots that have taken place. It's been on all the news channels and so on. Orchestrated by the far right, or were they? Were other people involved? This is one of the questions we've got. Now, I prepared a briefing sheet, which we'll put up on the website for you to have a look at as well, which has a lot of quotes and a lot of statistics about what happened. But we also want to discuss the nature of the far right marches that took place and the rioting that took place, because they weren't just marches, of course, the clampdown and the response from the government, and also the response from progressive communities and many people who said no to the far right and yes to asylum seekers and refugees and yes to LGBTQIA people. Because here in Bristol, of course, one of the target companies that the far right went after was an immigration lawyers on Old Market, which is in the heart of the LGBTQ plus village. And on the Wednesday of last week, there was a huge anti-fascist demonstration comprising about 2,500 people. It was live on Sky News. You may have seen it. So lots and lots of people have been prosecuted. There's about 500, I think. 975 people arrested so far, according to Sky News.
Hundreds to one.
And maybe
they outnumber
them. Maybe we should highlight the fact that Bristol is now being celebrated as the most loving city
in the
UK.
Yeah.
And we literally turned what should have been literally a very, very sad anarchistic riot into a party filled with love, filled with community, and actually that's what we've got, and that's what I think is being missed, that the majority of people within the UK are loving, are kind, are not racist, and are not transphobic and homophobic.
Well, here it turned into a big party, didn't it?
That's what I mean.
They had a sound system,
with boomboxes.
Only in Bristol.
Exactly.
There was a counter protest throughout the country for the left wing against racism and pro-immigration. Immigration to the country has always been a positive thing for me, going back when my ancestors came across from Poland, from Germany, from France.
Of course, Steffi and me can actually remember the Roman Empire, so we know
I
about
can't,
these things.
Because I'm only 39
authority.
On Saturday.
Anyway,
that was a brilliant discussion. Thanks, guys.
That's it for this week. If you fancy seeing watching us do this live, you might well get a chance, mightn't you?
You might. Oh, sorry. Well, on the 20th of August you can, because we'll be live from the Old Castle Green for their birthday.
Speaking of birthdays, by the way, happy birthday to you for Saturday.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
And the rest of the team next week. And we'll be talking to other people from Pridecaf. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.